Good morning, everyone. I'm John Hockenberry. Of course, we eat every day, but on Wednesday at the Takeaway, we talk about food. Yes, it's a recession favorite for lunch, and it goes back a long way with me. The gyro, or is it the gyro, or is it the gyro? Let's face it. Most of us don't even know how to pronounce the name of this luncheon meat, this snack food. I actually tried to make it once, and I did the recipe faithfully. You take a bunch of ground meat, you smush it up, you put it in a cake pan, you bake it in the oven. It tasted great, but it didn't taste like a gyro, and there's a very good reason why. New York Times business reporter David Siegel set out to find the story behind the gyro, why the meat is the way that it is, and it's actually a very serious mystery. David Siegel, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
Thanks for taking on this case.
Yeah, it's
what is that meat, and how did they get it that way?
The meat is a combination of lamb and beef. It's mostly beef, about 15% lamb, most of them. And the way they get it that way is they mince it in an enormous vat, and they blend spices or oregano and breadcrumbs. Along the way, it ends up looking like a paste, like a, almost like hummus.
Now, that you're describing is meatloaf, sort of Greek or something kind of meatloaf. But there's an added element that actually makes it very, very different from any other kind of meatloaf.
You speak of the hydraulic pressure?
Yes.
Yes. There is hydraulic pressure applied at the end. They first check for bone and metal, just as a precaution. And then they...
Tooth and nails as well?
Whatever might be in there that shouldn't be in there. And then they use hydraulic pressure to pump out these cones, which wind up on cylinders, and then they're flash frozen.
And so that's the thing that spins around that they carve the meat off of that doesn't resemble any animal part that I've ever seen.
That's right.
All right, so first of all, what made you want to go and get to the bottom of this? And there's actually a great American ingenuity story behind the entire hydraulic pressure part of this story.
The thing that made me interested was I was walking down the street about a month and a half ago, and I saw a photo of a young lady. She looks like she's a blonde in her early 20s, and she I'd seen her face all over the place, and I just – it looked like a photo from the early 80s, and I thought to myself, who is that woman? I've seen her all over New York City. I wonder if she knows that her face is all over New York City. And she turned out to be the first Kronos girl. Kronos is the world's largest makers of gyros. And so I wanted to find out who is she and does she understand that her face is all over New York City. Actually, never found out. The one guy who would know has passed away. So I never got to the bottom of that mystery. But I did end up going to Kronos and finding out how they make gyros. And I spent some time just walking around the factory to get to know that place.
And where is the factory?
It's in the south side of Chicago. It's in this sort of dead-end industrial street. And it's this massive place that just sells, that just makes gyros and flash freezes them.
So there's nothing really Greek about gyros, right?
There is something very Greek about gyros. The American part of this, I mean, gyros has been made one at a time in kitchens for years. So it had been people doing exactly what you did, which was mashing them by hand. And then making the cones themselves. Someone came up with the idea of mass producing gyros, and that's an American concept.
Wow.
And so I wanted to find out who that American was, because it turns out that there are basically five gyro magnates in Chicago, five guys who very early in the 70s, in the mid-70s, almost simultaneously came up with the idea of making a fortune with gyros. And I knew who those five guys were. So I just started calling them around to see, like, when was your factory? Who did you come up with this idea? And it took a few calls, but I finally found a guy named Pete Parthenis, and he said it was his idea.
To make the machine.
To mass produce the
gyro.
Right. And it was going from, like, making one car in a garage to creating a factory to crank out
the
cars.
The Henry Ford of
if
gyros.
If you will.
Yes.
So Pete Parthenis said that... he was a Henry Ford. And then there was one more guy to call, and I called him, a man named Andre, and he said, actually, it wasn't Pete Parthenis. It was a man named John Garlic.
John Garlic?
Yeah.
And so
I thought
the Parthenis mystery is busted. Okay.
Right. So I thought...
And John Garlic came up with what exactly?
John Garlic had come to Chicago from Milwaukee in 1973, looking for a partner for his brand new gyro factory that he had opened in Milwaukee. And Pete Parthenis at that time was making the rotisseries. He hadn't figured out that the money was in the meat, and he partnered up with John Garlic. And
great name.
It is a great name. Ideal.
Fabulous name.
And they were in business for a couple months, but it didn't really work out. Pete Parthenis said that when he did his due diligence and went to visit the home of John Garlic and his wife Margaret Garlic, there were pot plants in the bathtub. And and he said,
entrepreneurs, I guess we call
I guess that's why they taste so good.
And his lawyer said to him, you can't go into business with this man. You're not hip enough. But they went into business anyway, and it didn't work out. And after about 3 months, they split up. So I said to Pete Parthenis, well, where is John Garlic? Who is this John Garlic? And he said, he's a mystery. He was a question mark. He came from nowhere. So I said about trying to find John Garlic. And I found a woman named Margaret Garlic who lives in Orlando. And I called her, and she said, yes, that was my husband.
Who made the machine.
Who came up with this idea, like, let's make a mass-produced gyro. And it turns out that he'd passed away in 1994. I said, well, tell me about him. She said, well, he was this big guy. He was a very, very appealing guy. He was a Marine. He was a couple hundred pounds, shaggy hair. I was like, was he Greek? And she said, no, he was Jewish.
So a Jewish guy from Chicago
comes
up with the machine that mass produces the gyro and creates a business worth how much?
Well, each of the guys who was involved in the creation of the gyro were the early gyro guys. They all made millions of dollars. I mean, Pete Parthenis made millions of dollars. So I asked Margaret Garlic, where did this, if this guy's not Greek, where did this idea come from? And she said, it came from me. And I said, well, where did you get it? She said, I was watching What's My Line one day at home. And there was a man carving meat off a gyro. And I thought that was the greatest thing I'd ever seen. And I called my husband, who was then a Cadillac salesman. And he immediately quit his job. And they opened this gyro factory. It did so well that they ended up going to Chicago and looking for a partner, which they found in Pete Parthenis.
So from What's My Line to changing lunches all around America, it's the John Garlic, Margaret Garlic story, as told by David Siegel, New York Times business reporter, the mystery of the gyro solved. Thank you, David.
You're very welcome.
And have a great lunch.
Adding a new flavor to mystery meat.
Right. Indeed. Coming up, a very serious crime in Florida that has devastated an entire community. We'll have that next on The Takeaway.
NYC Now delivers the most up-to-date local news from WNYC and Gothamist every morning, midday, and evening. With 3 updates a day, listeners get breaking news, top headlines, and in-depth coverage from across New York City. By sponsoring programming like NYC Now, you'll reach our community of dedicated listeners with premium messaging and an uncluttered audio experience. Visit sponsorship.wnyc.org to get in touch and find out more.